Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Starting this month, you can take a new flat-rate Uber carpool trip. Just $2 a ride to almost anywhere in Medford, Somerville, Cambridge, Chelsea, Revere, Boston, Brookline, and Quincy. Now, that price point puts Uber squarely in competition with the MBTA. In fact, ride-hailing companies in general have been quietly edging into the transit business for a while now. Bloomberg notes that since last year, both Uber and Lyft have crafted agreements with San Francisco, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and others, mostly for so-called first last-mile programs meant to shuttle commuters to and from bus or train stations. But in smaller towns, they've gone even further, and we'll talk with the city manager of one of those towns in a moment. But this got us thinking. How far can ride-hailing companies go in support of mass transit before they start becoming attractive replacements for mass transit? How many riders could the financially fraught MBTA lose before the loss starts to have an impact across the system as a whole? Well, with us now in the studio is Richard Domino. He is president and CEO of A Better City, a business-backed nonprofit that advocates for transportation. He's also co-chair of the Mayor's Mobility Plan Advisory Committee for Boston 2030. Rick Domino, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, great. So first of all, give us the your first reaction to the $2 Uber price point in Greater Boston.
So my perspective is that Uber is just so clever and so capable relative to thinking about this market and how they're entering markets across the country and also internationally. Both the technology and their relationship to their customers and their now new pricing strategies are giving urban centers and giving people in those urban centers more choice. And I think in terms of the future of cities, choice and mobility is actually a good thing. And Uber is actually picking up on that and making ultimately, the hope is with Uber becoming more accessible, maybe less ownership of automobiles, mm-hmm. maybe less longer distance trips.
Right. So this is particularly important in Greater Boston. And I mean, I was sort of tweeting about this last week, and a lot of people tweeted back to me and said, hey, Uber's price point is not sustainable. They're not going to keep it at that price for $2 for long. It'll inch up and up and up. And my point is that agreed. It's not going to be $2 a ride forever. But the point is that Uber has the power to change or is trying to change people's behaviors. Now, how much of a hit, how many riders can the MBTA lose before it does have an impact on mass transit?
Well, that's where I actually think Uber is just a piece of the puzzle and not necessarily something that will replace or substitute the need for mass transit, especially for dense urbanized areas in the United States. The growth rate here in Boston is significant. We just did an analysis of our future, and the good news is that Boston, the urban core, the metropolitan region is growing at significant rates in terms of population, job growth, economic output. That job growth and economic output, for example, we did a single-line analysis of just let's take how many vehicle trips are being made today and how many they could be if we don't push some of those trips. 80,000 vehicles could be on the road. So the point is that Uber is part of the puzzle. There is no way that we can substitute kind of what a rapid transit line could do or what a bus or surface transportation route could do by a single passenger, even if you're doing carpooling. Carpooling, by the way, has gone down in Massachusetts. So if Uber can actually bring it back up, it's an important part of our transportation system.
Okay, so not a substitute. I completely agree. But, I mean, the finances of the MBTA are already so terrible. I mean, there's a report in the Globe today about, once again, possibly privatizing repair, maintenance, and even bus drivers themselves that say, theoretically, what if 5%, 10% of riders make a permanent switch to an Uber-type system? I mean, wouldn't that damage the T as a whole overall?
There could be that type of market influence. I just don't see it because right now we're carrying 1.3 million people on the T, and the growth rate relative to future demand relative to, let's just take the South Boston waterfront just as a quick example, okay? We just did an analysis. 17 million square feet of development still wants to happen in that area. 63% more trips but relative to 67% of those trips want to be on transit.
Yeah.
That means we're going to have to do much more relative to the Silver Line because at 128% capacity. That's a transit solution. That's not an Uber solution.
Okay, so Rick, hold on here for just a second. I want to come back to this in just a moment because the future, I'm obsessed about the future here. But I do want to actually turn to another city for a moment and what they're doing with Uber. So let's bring in Frank Martz. He's the city manager of Altamont Springs, Florida. And the city of Altamont Springs, home to some 44,000 people just outside of Orlando, they recently partnered with Uber to subsidize rides in their city. Mr. Martz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, briefly, why'd you partner with Uber over, say, you know, building out bus infrastructure for Altamont Springs?
Well, in the late 90s, the city created a pilot project that was very similar to Uber. It was a demand response public transportation system. And working with our local transit company here in Orlando, who was responsible for bringing that online as the regional transportation agency, and they just failed to do it. And we still had the problem of how to attract people. And it's always been our viewpoint that convenience is going to drive the utilization of transit, you know, especially in suburban areas. I've been to Boston many times. Congestion management is an issue. We don't have that kind of congestion here.
Right.
So it has to be convenient. And when our concept was not handled appropriately by our local transit group, I got on the phone and called Uber because they are doing it. They brought that to the market. They're very competitive, and they were interested. They'd never done a citywide congestion management pilot. Ours was the first in the world.
And so how is the program working so far? I mean, are lots of people using it?
Yeah, it's been a very successful launch. Our utilization is up tenfold since we began in March, and which is anything that goes up by a multiple of 10 is really, really important. I was listening to your other segment. It really is about educating people and trying to entice them to try something different. And Boston, you know, has this condition much more so than we do here in Orlando, but in Altamont Springs particularly. But you can take a large number of people off of the road and put them in an alternative form of transportation, and the lane miles will still get filled up by other people who are trying to get on those roads. So making a shift, as much as anything, is about a lifestyle, you know, a change in lifestyle, and an effort to tap into a new generation of employees.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Frank Martz, city manager for Altamont Springs, Florida, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a brief view into what's going on there. Much appreciated.
Sure thing.
Let me turn back to Rick Domino, president and CEO of A Better City. Rick, you know I can talk until I'm blue in the face about transportation and transit. We've only got about a minute and a half left here. And I wanted to reflect to you something that Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack told WBUR earlier this year. She was asked, like, what's the most important innovation in transit and transportation, recent innovation? And she said, hands down, the most important one in the last decade, the smartphone. I think, and she's absolutely on to something. But my retort to that then is, what can we do? What do we need to do to further push the MBTA to capitalize on the flexibility, the customization, the price drops that smartphone technology can offer? We're seeing that with Uber, Bridge, et cetera. But the T needs to get further on board.
We are totally with you. And I actually mean Secretary Pollack as well. We are working with the MBTA on a single medium payment, which may in fact lead to having us use our smartphone, touch the turnstile, and have our ability to get into the T, pay for parking, have a single payments system that allows you to cross all forms of our transportation system and have that be the way in which we pay.
What about even more aggressively, like making bus routes dynamic?
I think that's part of the thinking as well. Plus, we can change the pricing structure based on time of day. We can change the pricing structure regarding some of the equity challenges that we might be facing here in Greater Boston as well. So they just put out an RFQ that we helped them create to see if we can move forward with this new technology and see if we can do some more dynamic work here in Boston in the transit system.
I want to talk with you more about that and another time before the clock comes crashing down on us. We will come back to this because absolutely fascinating. Richard Dimino, President and CEO of A Better City, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Send us a tweet at Radio Boston about what you think about smartphones and the future of the MBTA and Uber's $2 a ride program. What do you think? We're at Radio Boston. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.